In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And lead us not into temptation. And Adam was tempted. He failed to protect his bride. She took some of the fruit and ate it, and then gave it to him, and he ate it. They longed to be like God. Instead, they found themselves enemies of God. And lead us not into temptation. And Christ was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted. God cannot be tempted. God cannot sin. Sin is whatever is opposite of God. He cannot deny himself, but he must remain faithful and true to his promises. He cannot change, so that the house of Israel will not be destroyed. God cannot be tempted. And so God took on flesh, so that he might be tempted in every way just as you are, yet remain without sin. He placed himself underneath his creation to reverse the curse of the first Adam. He allowed that wretched snake to harass him, attack him, torment him, strike his flesh again and again and again and again. Yet he remained without sin. After those 40 days and 40 nights, his stomach grumbled. The tempter gave a solution. And yet he trusted in his heavenly Father. He did not desire the things that his Father had not given to him. He trusted in his heavenly Father and was content with what he had, even though he was without food. For man does not live on bread alone, but on the word of God. Even the God-man did not live on bread alone, but on the very words of God. He was tempted not just these three times or only for these 40 days, but he was tempted from conception to birth, just as you are. He knows what it is like to be a kid and to want to disobey parents. He knows what it is like to be lured to anger, lust, and greed. He knows what it is like to be enticed as a teenager. He knows what you go through. And yet his prayers always remain perfect. His actions perfect, his body perfect, his mind and heart perfect, his will perfectly in line with God's holy will. A perfect substitute, conquering where Adam had failed, conquering where you and I all too often succumb to sin. It is not easy to endure temptation. Christ did not always walk around with a smile on his face, for that devil was constantly nipping at his heels. It is not easy, but it is quite taxing to live a holy life in a sinful world. Temptation hurts. It drains. It's painful. It's difficult. Drops of blood fell from his face as he prayed for that cup to be taken from him. How enticing it was to bend the knee on top of that very high mountain and avoid it all. But not my will, but yours be done. Still, he trusted in his heavenly Father, though he knew full well what it meant for himself. He would not come down from that cross. He would not accuse his God. Even as he sat in the very pit of hell, his prayer and worship remained perfect, even as his Father rejected him. Still, he trusted in his heavenly Father. His trust and worship never faltered, even as he sank deeper and deeper into hell. For he knew he had come to win the salvation for mankind. And lead us not into temptation. And we are led out by the Spirit into a wilderness of this world, where we are harassed by the devil. Baptism has set us free from sin, death, and Satan. But you know that does not mean you live in a nice little Christian bubble with no evil ever penetrating. That does not mean the devil has now given up all hope. In fact, quite the opposite. A target now sits on your back. And he will use his entire arsenal, all his energy, devote his time and every planning to getting you to fall from your faith. It is a dangerous thing to be baptized. For you now have a fierce enemy willing to stop at nothing to destroy you. And God does not always keep him away from you, does he? And so we must go through many hardships in order to enter the kingdom of God. We must endure much temptation. Understand that God tempts no one. God never wants you to fall into sin. He never entices you or lures you into sin. It is against who he is. The devil tempts. Satan leads you astray. Christ has bound him by his cross, and yet he has been set free for a short time. As long as we live on this earth, he attacks us on every side just as he attacked Christ. We suffer from them. Temptation hurts. It is difficult. It is painful. It drains us. These are not just some mental exercises, but this is a physical, real temptation that affects our bodies. All too often, it affects our bodies. It is hard to live a holy life in a sinful world. And so we do not always walk around with a smile on our faces because we have endured much loss, much pain, much sorrow, temptations from Satan, so that you question God's love and if he is really doing what is best for you. And so now we have taken ourselves back to the sin of the first man, doubting the very promises of God. A conflict rages within our hearts, and we all too often are torn in two different directions. The flesh desires not the things of the Spirit, and the Spirit desires not the things of the sinful flesh. We are pulled in two different directions. We are tempted to live by our feelings instead of by the Word of God, to fulfill our every desire. Do we live by the Word of God, or do we live by our bellies? We eat what we want, when we want, and even where we want to eat it. And the only restrictions we have is what doctors tell us not to do. And even then we gripe and grumble. Do we live by the word of God, or do our stomachs control us? Our desires often pull us to satisfy those cravings. No snacks before bedtime. Wait until mealtime. We discipline our kids. And yet how often do we break our own rules? How often do we live by our own desires, satisfying the body? Our desires often control us as we fail to be content without food. And we're not talking about the three meals a day, but without those other snacks. How often do we fail to be content without good health? How often do we fail to be content without relationships? Or without money? We often want the word of God and something else. We know the grass is always greener on the other side. We know what that means, but how often does that entice us and pull us still to jump the fence? Satan tempts the married with single life and the single with married life, those with kids with not having kids, and those without kids to have kids. He creates discontentment, discord, dissatisfaction, distrust with what our Father has given to us and our place in this life, so that we want to go to the other side, even as Adam ate from that fruit, desiring to know what was over the fence. Even if we are pure, chaste, kind, and firm in one moment, Satan is likely at that very hour to send such an arrow into our hearts that we can scarcely endure it. He never rests, never takes a break, never has a vacation, never gets tired, never becomes weary. If Adam could not withstand such a formidable foe when he was perfect, he also had the word of God, by the way. How can we withstand? Look at that hungry, wandering man, that weak man wandering in the wilderness. He is your strength. He's not so much showing you how you can defeat the devil, but he is actually defeating the devil for you. So cry out to him in prayer every hour so that you may not fall into temptation. Without him, it is impossible to withstand even the smallest attack. Do not run and try to hide amongst the trees, but flee to this your God. The moment you feel stressed or burdened, the moment you begin to worry or get frustrated, run to an inner room, shut the door, fall down on your knees, and pray. Pray the Psalms. Have those Psalms always on your heart and on your lips. They are the prayer book of the Scriptures, the song book, a perfect psalm. Know them. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Not just once a week as you gather here, but again and again and again and again. You need not always make up your own prayers. Take the words of God and pray them back to him. Hold God to his promises to uphold you and to keep you. Remind him of what he has promised to you in baptism, that he will never let you fall. For you all know all too well that you are too weak to withstand such a formidable foe. Because Christ suffered when he was tempted, he knows what you are going through. He knows the loneliness, the sadness, the sorrow. He knows it all, the stress, even the worries. For he was tempted as you are. And yet never did he succumb. And so he conquered that ancient serpent, not simply by dying on the cross, though that is the culmination, but by his very life. The victory began at conception. And you see that victory again as he withstands every attack of this devil. Christ is your rock and your fortress, a strong defense to save you not only from sin and death, but from every attack of the devil. So flee to him in prayer. He wants you to come. Baptism has placed a mark on your back. You have a very fierce enemy, willing to stop at nothing. And yet baptism has also clothed you with Christ and declared you to be a child of God. You rest in his tender arms. God remembers what he did to you there in those waters, how he gave you a new life and promised the mansions of heaven to you. And so in Christ, you are more than conquerors. Not because you're so good at fighting the devil. Frankly, we're not. But because Christ fought for you, and Christ continues to fight for you, and Christ continues to fight in you. In Christ, you possess everything. Outside of Christ, you possess nothing. In Christ, you overcome all things. Outside of Christ, you succumb to all things. He alone has crushed that ancient serpent, and he has done it for you. So Satan can rant and rave, yell and holler, threaten and scream all he wants. They cannot harm us. He's judged. The deed is done. Satan can tempt, entice us, and lure us all he wants. Or better, all that God allows him to do. He can never rip us out of our loving Savior's arms. Some days are better than others. Some days we do walk around with a smile on our face. And yet other days we feel that dragon breathing down our necks. As long as we live in this world, we will suffer from temptation and even be tangled in them, even as Christ was. They change us. And yet we pray that we may never fall into them, succumb to them, or be drowned in them. They change us for the good. And this is why your Father has not kept Satan away from you. Not yet. He wants you to frantically flee to him, knowing that you are too weak to withstand. He wants you to endure in prayer and even to pray more than you already do. He wants you to overcome Satan through Christ alone. And then God is glorified. Not only in your hearts and in your minds, but God is glorified before Satan and his evil hosts. He cannot have you. He hates the fact that God protects you. And when we do fall, Satan jumps up and down in a little victory. But then comes our God to once again forgive us and restore us. With his gracious forgiveness, he declares us once again to be his beloved sons, and it drives Satan crazy that God would forgive such weak, helpless creatures like you and me. But this is who our God is. This is why we trust in him and in him alone. And ultimately, these temptations create in us a longing for heaven, where we will finally be free from that ancient foe forever, through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.